On today's catch-up, we asked the question, why is your cat better than a dog?
Andrew Brayshaw from The Dockers joined us.
Oh, we asked what your claim to fame is.
And some Tinder tips to help you find love.
This Big Breakfast catch-up is for ABC Blinds up to 50% off sale.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5.
A day to celebrate the cats, International Cat Day. It's hard to be a cat owner, I would imagine, because a lot of people sort of think that cats are moody, that they can be a bit
selfish.
Difficult.
Well.
And so a lot of people will be in the dog camp and think that dogs are better than cats. And it's a bit unfair because there's some cool cats.
I've got most awesome cat ever.
Yeah, Turbo.
Turbo is a legend.
What a name too for Turbo.
He is just the best, right? Yeah. And I mean, obviously I've talked a lot about Florence since we got her, and God knows I love her, my Dalmatian puppy. But Turbo.
You and Turbo go way back.
We go way back.
You guys just clicked.
He did. Well, you think you've got some audio of how he is with me?
sounds like a motorboat.
It's like a giant lion.
I'm on the toilet here. He will not leave me alone.
Too much info?
Won't leave me alone.
Oh, God, gee whiz. I've got to stop telling the same jokes.
Into that area.
All right, enough.
Well,
is there an echo?
We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 133353. If you feel like you've been a bit hard done by, tell us, why is your cat better than a dog?
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, Booby was a great cat. I'm still sad.
Oh, I'm still sad about Booby too.
Oh, poor old Booby.
That's it. 133353. Why is your cat better than a dog?
Turbo is as good as a dog because he's very affectionate.
We're not talking about good, Matt. We're talking better than.
Better. And
he doesn't want to say anything. He's better than Florence.
No, Florence might be listening.
Well, she's the new kid on the block.
And he doesn't chew up all my shoes.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
International Cat Day at 8:49.
Hey, what's new, Pussycat? 12,000 years we've had cats with us, they reckon.
Really?
We've domesticated them for obvious reasons. You know, when we started farming, our grain stores, they kept rodents away. Mm. And apart from one time in the Middle Ages when they were associated with witchcraft and the devil, they've been our best buddies.
Well, and
listen
cats,
to you and your cat facts.
When they love you, they really love you. Gillian in Stratton, why is your cat better than a dog?
Oh, look, every time I lay down on the couch to watch TV, as you do, he comes up and he spoons with me.
Spooner cat.
Gillian.
The spooner cat.
What's your cat's name?
His name is Simba.
Simba.
And he truly believes that he is my partner.
Oh, there you go.
Is he white?
He does.
Is he white, Gillian? Because is Simba the white lion? Is your cat white?
No, that's Kimber, darling.
No,
that's Kimber.
He's a short-haired domestic, but he thinks he's a lion.
Oh, of course he does.
Bless him. Matt hasn't seen The Lion King.
Sorry.
Thanks, Gillian.
We used to watch Kimber all those years ago.
Simba.
Sharon in Maddington, why is your cat better than a dog?
Well, I had a cat imp who has now passed away, but you know those videos that they send you where they said watch really closely because something interesting is going to happen?
Oh, yes. Yep.
Yeah, and the ghoul comes out and scares you.
Yeah.
So that scared me. I screamed. She came running in the room, puffed up, ready to attack.
Yeah.
Looked around to see what the danger was, and when saw I was fine, she just gave me the most offended look you could ever get from a cat.
How dare you make me get out of the sun?
So you had a watch cat. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Whenever I was in any kind of trouble or scared, or if I made it sound like I was upset, she would be right there checking out to see what the danger was.
That's nice.
Oh, that's cute.
Thanks, Sharon.
That's a bit like Turbo having you back in the toilet.
Absolutely. Nice. Let's go to Kingsley. Louise, why is your cat better than a dog?
Well, I don't know that she's better, but she's definitely smarter.
Yes.
So our dog, we've got a very big dog. She's a Great Dane Cross Ridgeback. And she has this big soft bed in the house, and she loves to sleep on there. But the cat, if he wants to sleep there instead, he just taps the side of the dog's food bowl to the dog to get up. Go and check what's in the food bowl, and of course the cat will get on the bed instead. And it happens over and over and over.
That is genius.
Brilliant.
Genius cat, but stupid dog.
One up in that household.
That's great. Thanks, Lou.
Let's go to Tegan and then Auburn Grove. Tegan, tell us about your cat. Better than dogs, right?
Oh, absolutely. She was amazing. Unfortunately, she died rather valiantly with a tiger snake attacking her. For many, many years prior to that, when my kids were younger, she actually used to walk them to school. We lived up in Jarrahdale, and she used to walk the kids to school on her own and sit at the gate and wait. And then in the afternoon, just prior to the bell, she'd walk up. She'd sit and wait, and she'd walk them home.
Oh,
any dogs
incredible.
Came anywhere near our place, yep. she was after them. She would chase them away, belt them up and everything. She was really full on, but just so cat-like. It was just unbelievable.
Oh. Very loyal.
Yeah.
Mm. Absolutely. And she was a Maine Coon. So they're very dog-like. And so I didn't need a dog.
Didn't need one. Oh, very good.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice when you can get that. I think that's the hardest thing with cats is if you don't feel that connection. I'm allergic to them, so I've never been able to really get close to
one. You never got to step
that,
one.
Yeah. So I've had to be a dog person.
They're very easy to revere.
Get a vanilla.
Because they're so sort of arrogant. But you do want a little bit of affection.
I can hear Paul giving me cat advice.
Bimilla is an anti-allergy cat.
That's sort of short.
People have got allergies. They get Bimillas.
Okay,
I don't know what's in them, but yeah.
Okay.
Bimilla sounds like a cocktail you might have on Friday night.
I had one.
Yeah. Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Oh,
a cocktail.
Yeah. Strawberry Bimilla. This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt, and Kimber. Shut up.
He's one of the hottest rising stars in the AFL.
Great shot. Brilliant goal.
And he's our man inside the Dockers. Let's talk footy with Andrew Brayshaw for Automasters.
Not only did the Dockers have a win on the weekend, but they happened to beat these guys, the Top Cats. Of course, Geelong, and a wonderful win at Optus last weekend, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, guys. Very good.
Look, Claire doesn't get many opportunities to celebrate on air about your team as much as he'd like to, so I'm just going to step back. I'm going to go grab a drink. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
Oh, well, look, I mean, it was a wonderful, gutsy win, and, I brought this up with Dennis Cometti on Monday. The only frustrating part of it is that you're a side that's beaten Geelong. You beat Collingwood over there. You've beaten GWS, and it's just that consistency of those performances, I guess.
Yeah, it's a tough pill to swallow, beating some of the top sides and losing to some of the bottom ones. But, yeah, I guess we've just got to continue to grow and improve that consistency pace, because once we can get that right, I think we could be a very good side.
Mm. Mate, it was interesting to watch on the weekend. All of a sudden, if Joel Selwood's not there with Paddy Dangerfield and Tim Kelly in the midfield, they bring in another great guy like Guthrie or someone. They have great riches.
Yeah.
It must have been great to play against those good midfielders, but to beat them as well.
Yeah, I unfortunately didn't get to play them last year with my jaw, so it was my first time playing against those guys. So, it was pretty surreal coming up against, Tim Kelly and Paddy Dangerfield. And like you said, Guthrie comes through as well. So they've got a very, very talented list, and I'm sure they'll do quite well for the rest of the season.
Because you all know what you're all capable of, do you ever sort of see teammates and you think, oh, I'd love to just say to them, hey, if you just worked on this one thing. But do you feel like you can, or is it kind of like...
Nathan, it's Andrew here.
No, because, you want to be able to have that openness, but perhaps, you're not telling them how to suck eggs, but...
Well, you definitely eventually want to get to that stage where you can give each other open feedback, but probably as a young player, I feel very comfortable helping and giving advice to people, either my year or a bit younger than me, but I probably wouldn't go up to Dave and say anything or up to Aaron, but it sort of filters down through. So we get a lot of feedback from the older guys, and I'll try and pass that on to the younger guys as well. So.
You know what it would be awesome, Andy, is if you filmed yourself going up to Sam and giving him some ruck advice.
I don't think that would
tips.
I don't think that would pan out very well.
He may pick you up.
Yeah, and throw me.
Hey, Andy, one of the best things, one of the cutest things I saw at the footy, this young fella played his first game, Jason Carter, in the back line, and he did really well. Next generation player from Wyndham, but I watched his dad in the grandstand, and as he's running across to the wing, he's telling him where to go. Now, obviously, Jason couldn't see his dad, but he's still directing him where to go, like it was junior footy.
That's great.
Sweet moment.
That's great. I haven't seen the footage, but some parents, I think it was a St Kilda player earlier on in the year kicked his first goal and his parents cried, and it's just amazing to see, how much time and effort these parents put into their kids, and then to see them finally get the job done and play the first game or win their first game, get their first touch, little things like that.
Yeah, although Jace reckons he heard some of his family members in the crowd.
Well, I heard the plane from Wyndham sold out.
Yeah.
So there was a bunch of them down there, so it was
brilliant.
Great.
Yeah, beautiful. And, of course, you mentioned the Saints. It's Saints this week. And, of course, mathematically, you're still a possibility for finals?
Yeah, we're trying to take it week by week at the moment. After
Jake, I've never heard that. That statement.
That's a Ross statement. But yeah, we're really thinking if we can bring that intensity and that energy that we brought against Geelong, that if we bring that this week, we can hopefully win that and then reset and go again. So, but yeah, I think mathematically we're still a chance. So I'm sure that's in the back of everyone's mind at the club. But yeah, both Peel Thunder and the Fremantle Dockers, we're both going to try and get there.
Nice.
Very nice. I've just got this bag. It's quite heavy, mate. Actually, I've got two. There's one. Can you give this to Brad Hill? The other one to Ed Langdon for me.
Oh, I'd love to give it to him. Yeah, you know.
Oh, is that cash? Okay, to stay. Okay,
what right, to stay?
They both keep their cards very close to their chest. Of course. But, you know, I wish that they both stay. They're both great players. Mm. And they've been very good for us on the outside. So I'd love to see them get a hard ball. But on the outside, they're amazing. And yeah, I hope they stay, but at the end of the day, that's their decision.
Yeah, yeah, big business now, isn't it?
Clezzy's bags of muesli bars aren't going to cut it.
Need pots of gold. Hey, good to see Andy. All the best against the Saints.
Thanks, guys.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clezzy, Matt and Kimber.
Now, guys, I did mention that I went to a function. I worked at a function a couple of weeks ago, met some lovely people.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to sit down. I was the MC at this function, but I went to sit down. They have the tables of 10. And I was lucky enough to be able to sit with some of the people from this group.
Mm-hmm.
And I started talking to a guy, and he was probably one of the friendliest blokes I've ever met. Instantly, we had a connection, and we started talking about footy.
Of course.
And he said that he comes from Colac, which is a very rich football town in Australia and on the East Coast. Within, I reckon, 40 seconds, he told me he was a cousin of Luke Hodge, football champion and a former superstar and captain of Hawthorn, who's now up at Brizzy.
There you go.
It was very, very quick. He was very quick to surrender this information. Oh, I'm a footy fan, so I was impressed. I was asking him questions. He said, oh, I'm related to Paul Broderick as well, and I'm another football star.
Yep.
And I went, that's pretty cool. And I thought, he's released that information really early. Yeah. I wonder how many people he releases that info to.
Like, couldn't wait to get it off his chest.
Yeah. And like I said, one of the sweetest people I've ever met. But yeah, the information came out very quickly, and I didn't have anything to match it. I didn't have a Hodgie to match it with. Oh. I just mentioned you two.
Oh, we're your claim to fame.
You were my go-to.
Yeah, thanks.
You know,
thanks.
Kimber Kale and Matt Dutinsky.
You know me. I'm dropping names left, right, and centre of people I once sort of knew. Certainly don't have me in their phone anymore.
Maybe think about that claim to fame or your go-to that you use, sort of like almost like a business card. And go, hey.
Well, and when people tell you straight away, like you guys know, I was trying to sell my house last year and I said to my agent, please don't tell anyone it's my
home. What I do.
Right? Because I was living there still and I was like, oh, I like to keep my private life like that private. So I was like, please don't tell anyone that it's my home. I've got strangers coming through. It's weird, right?
Yes.
And made it really clear to them, told them multiple times. And then I sent in a secret agent.
Yeah.
One Laurie Clares.
We know the secret. She changed her name.
The first person who walked into the home open, so the first home open, one Laurie Clares goes in undercover.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't wait to tell her it was my house.
He was bursting.
Couldn't wait. Was like, oh, this house belongs to someone. And I'm like, dude, I made it. And so then I obviously got the intel and went back and went, hey, fellas, what are you doing?
Guys.
Why do people, they get this desperate, this is my claim to fame, this is the person?
I don't know. I mean, when I was working with Guy Pearce, I remember Guy saying to me, Matt, gee, you're a good actor. You know, you should be more famous.
Give us a call, 133353, and tell us your claim to fame.
Hey, remember when you made that Russell Crowe movie?
Yes. But you know the biggest one of all?
Yeah.
I worked with Fat Cat.
Oh, that's not bad, actually. Fat Cat, remember? Fat Cat doesn't talk about you much.
Oh, he's five.
No.
Love to hear from you. Might win our Caller of the Day prize, which is a beauty from the 80s.
It is. Pop icons, Aha, and special guest Rick Astley at A Day on the Green, Wednesday the 19th of Feb at Kings Park and Botanic Garden. And tickets are on sale through Ticketmaster or win them through us.
Yeah, 133353. We want to hear your claim to fame.
Jeez, Luke Hodge was a good footballer.
Not as good as Fat Cat or Guy Pearce.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clezzy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for Brekkie.
This month, enjoy up to 50% off extra savings at ABC Blinds, the legends they are.
Breakfast with the lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clezzy, Matt and Kimber.
Doing a bit of name dropping here today. Mm. Why won't you claim to fame? Did I mention that when I praised Courtney Love with her Perth show at Metro City a few years ago, she liked my tweet and she replied and said, thank you, Dean.
Did she?
Courtney Love.
Wow.
One of my few claims to fame that's not directly linked with work, which is a bit of cheating because we talked to some famous folks.
We do.
But I did meet someone at a function recently who very quickly told me he was related to Luke Hodge, the football champ, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Hey, if you get the opportunity, drop it in. Jody's in Greenwood. Jody, what's your claim to fame?
My great-grandfather invented Pavlova.
No.
Really?
Stop it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Jody, can you actually put it to rest? Does Pavlova belong to New Zealand or Australia?
Definitely Australia, yes. It's a point of contention between us, but definitely Australia. My great-grandfather, he was a chef at a local restaurant here in Perth, and, yes, he named it after the ballerina,
who's
very light on her feet, yeah.
Anna Pavlova.
Anna Pavlova.
So, so not only is it an Australian invention, Jody, it's a Perth invention.
Yes.
Wow.
Hey, Jody, you do have it every Christmas or on a regular basis just in celebration of him?
Yeah, we do, most Christmases. And, yeah, I've got the original recipe, so it's pretty exciting to have.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
That's well done, Jody. And we'll go to Wellington now where Jacinta Ardern is on the phone. She's saying that it's a load of crap. We invented it.
The big fact. Hey, g'day, Sarah. Do you want to name drop or tell us your claim to fame?
I once accidentally asked Orlando Bloom out on a date.
Oh, good word.
Sarah, what happened?
I somehow managed to get to meet him at the stage door after a wedding play he was in London and commented on how thin he looked, and he said, is that an invitation for dinner? And I had to decline him because I was going off to see Prince in concert that evening. So
oh, what a choice. I think his own mum was making a lamb roast.
Oh, that's enough to make doves cry.
Yeah,
I knew it was that easy. All right.
It was a bit weird.
Sarah, have you kicked yourself since, or were you happy seeing Prince? Because Prince was amazing.
The Prince concert was amazing, but it was one of those sliding door moments.
It was.
Kind of thing, what would have happened.
Yeah. Oh, that's an awesome story.
Well done,
Sarah.
Then he went to Miranda Kerr and then moved on again.
Yeah, I just wanted a meal.
Thanks, Sarah.
How are you, Sarah?
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claresy, Matt and Kimber.
The people in the Mix Club have spoken. Over 70% said, let's move Thursday to Friday, as in Blue Light Thursday becomes Blue Light Friday.
Okay, the people have spoken.
The people have spoken big time, and it was exactly what the polls thought would happen.
Is that the same 70% that thought Bill Shorten was going to be the Prime Minister?
Definitely not. The Mix Club people are a lot smarter than that.
Oh, good, yeah, good.
So tomorrow, all flashbacks all day on Blue Light Friday. Today we're dropping names and we're talking about your claim to fame, and quite often it's like, did you know I went to school with...
So-and-so?
Yeah. I mean, Lisa McKeon went to Greenwood High School, but it was after I was there, so I can't
Did
really
she?
Drop that. There you go.
Some of us have to stretch further than others, but Yoli, you're in Byford. What's your claim to fame?
My claim to fame is that when I was about 6 years old, I had about a 10-minute conversation with Her Majesty the Queen on the phone.
Sorry?
What? Wrong number?
No. In 82, the Royal Yacht Britannia was in Perth. My dad was down. He was an officer at the HMAS Lewin in Frio.
Yeah.
He knew the captain on board, and we were in the wheelhouse, and the captain handed the phone over and said, here's someone who'd like to talk to you. And I had this great conversation with this lovely lady who was very much like my nana, and it was the Queen.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is brilliant.
Wow.
I really do feel for the Queen in this situation, though, because, you know, a 10-minute conversation with a 6-year-old feels like a lifetime. And then I went to the...
I bet you wish you had that audio, Yoli, forever.
Yes.
Oh, what a lovely thing to happen.
And she really was. As they say, she was absolutely amazing. I still remember the feeling of the conversation. It was just wonderful.
Yeah, she's good at what she does.
Nice.
That is beautiful. And apparently she gave Yoli a tip for Pinjarra Trots that night.
She knows her horses.
She does.
Let's go to Kalamunda. Mark, what's your claim to fame?
I can't be the Queen, but Guy Sebastian was my cousin.
Oh,
the King.
We love Guy around
He's
here.
He's a beautiful man. Is he as beautiful as a family member as he is when he comes in here, Mark?
He's probably even better.
Yeah.
Okay. Apart from the fact that he barracks for Adelaide.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Mark, that is incredible. Nice get.
Yeah.
That is a really good year. Guy's a nice guy. We like him.
We love him. Good on you, Mark.
No worries.
The Big Breakfast with Claresy, Matt and Kimber.
If the name Stefan Pierre Tomlin is familiar to you, it's because you dated him.
Matt, can you withdraw that one?
Yeah.
No, he's gorgeous.
The 29-year-old model and presenter from London has been named Tinder's most fancied man on Tinder.
Swiped?
I guess he's the most swiped. That's what's made him the most popular man on Tinder.
He's a good-looking rooster.
I mean, he's a model.
Yeah.
You know,
you're going to get a lot of swipe rights if you're a model.
Yeah, he thought it was a practical joke that's his new claim to fame. But, you know, it's okay because he's good at that.
He's good at that.
He's good at being hot, and that's what they want.
And apparently he's been STI clear since February 2018.
Oh, that's brilliant. You have to expose your records on Tinder?
Well, because,
you have to expose something.
You know, I hope we can call him Mr. Tinder. And yeah. Mr. Tinder has Minder. Given some top 10 tips for getting more matches. So if you're on Tinder and okay. you're not having much right. success,
right.
he's telling you how to do it,
right.
other than just looking foxy.
Being a model.
Yeah.
Number one, be a model.
Yeah, number okay. one for sure. But he also says make sure that your photo's got a brightly coloured black background because it stands out, and include a sexy holiday photo in your selection because it shows off your fun, relaxed side.
Does
oh,
it?
Long walks on the beach.
Yeah.
How sweet.
But sexy holidays.
Don't a lot of blokes, you know, have fishing photos, which apparently is very sexy for other men, but yeah. I wouldn't imagine that's great for the, for the ladies.
Maybe
yeah,
not.
Fish photos my friends swipe by.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because you're going to be thinking you're a fishing widow.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Be active on the app at 2 p.m. on Sunday.
Oh, prime time, is it?
Because Mr. Tinder or Minder claims that this is the peak time for app users as they're recovering from a big night out and probably kind of feeling that hungover, a bit blue.
Really questioning their life
Why
choices.
Why did I do that last night? If I had a partner, I wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
And other people are doing the same thing.
Yeah, and it's not a bad idea. I mean, it's important to hit the right demo.
Yep.
I mean, I know, too, it's about the photo that you put on that's important. There was yeah. one woman who put a photo of her face planting on a ski slope, and she said she got the most responses from men she's ever had.
Oh, really?
Because right. I guess it also gives them something to talk about.
Yeah. Yes.
They can touch in and go, hey, nice face plant.
Showing your vulnerability. Here's one for Captain Paul, too. It says, crack a joke in your bio. It shows you don't take yourself too seriously.
Yes.
But maybe not maybe not the joke you did Tuesday at 8:55, Paul.
You know, I'm not cut out for Tinder. My girlfriend went on Tinder and said, what should I say in my bio? And I said, if it were me, I would just write, state your business. State right. your
oh,
business.
Okay. What, what are you about?
I like to know what people are about and
no
I want
BS.
To know what you want.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
you want a one-night stand, let me know. Okay. If you want to have a relationship, let me know. Just state your business and we'll all get along.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah, and that means you'll get 4 million people saying you're Mrs. Tinder because everyone will say they want a one-night stand.
Well, at least you know what they're up for.
I think that should be a T-shirt.
Yeah.
State your business.
State your business.
Just gets things done.
Kimber's new motto. Love it.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
Yeah.
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist.
Cold.
She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jim King missed.
We'll warm you up, buddy.
We certainly will. All right, my friends, it's Matt's tour of the globe again, hopefully entertaining and educational.
Oh, sure. Good.
So today we are going to the country of Turkmenistan.
Nice.
It's beautiful.
Hey?
This was Disney tours.
Yeah, this was their version of Imagine Dragons' Bad Liar.
Okay. You are a bad liar.
So now Turkmenistan, it was part of the Soviet Union until 1991, of
sure.
course, yep. and it's a problematic place.
Kimber told you that
regularly near the bottom of a number of the human rights indexes.
Yeah.
It said there that religious media and political expression is brutally punished. Oh. So not that dissimilar to here.
Not a great track record, though.
No. And they're
just socially brutally punished.
Their president, Gurbanguly Berdimuhamedov, is president. Now, he's commonly referred to as Arkadag.
Oh, I would have gone with Birdie.
Yes, but that means protector.
Okay. Mm-hmm. With a name like that, I'd go for an acronym too.
Serious dude, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in July of this year, reports came in that Berdimuhamedov was ill, if not dead.
Oh.
Okay.
They weren't quite sure.
But to quell the... What was going, Paul?
That's really ill. Yeah.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
Glad we went back.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was worth it, wasn't it?
So to end rumours that he was ill, or if not dead, the state broadcaster Watan Habarari decided to air a 25-minute report where you see the president riding a horse.
Stop it.
Yeah.
They've done Weekend at Bernie's.
They have.
Oh, no.
No. Composing beats. Like he's in his like studio, right?
Yeah.
And playing 10-pin bowling with three aides dressed in kind of George Costanza's dad's tracksuits.
Oh, oh, really?
Watching him hit three strikes. It's quite wonderful to watch. But the best thing about the 25-minute report yeah. is that's him doing donuts around this Dananza crater.
He's still got it.
He's still got it.
Oh, there you go.
So to prove that President's all right, he's doing burnouts around this crater. Oh, and if you're ever worried about fracking, right, this crater was created because they were looking for oil and gas.
Right.
It's this huge fire pit that they just decided to throw a match to because it was leaking methane, right? And so he's doing donuts around that. So all things are fine in Turkmenistan.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Okay.
Matt's next venture to Turkmenistan leaves on April 7 next
yeah,
year.
Yeah, tomorrow let's go to Crete.
Dick Tinsky tours.
Breakfast with the Lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. The Juice.
Oh, you tell.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
I'm not sure if everybody knew this, but on Sunday night, The Bachelor, Matt Agnew, was on Have You Been Paying Attention on 10.
Okay. No, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, he came on and asked a few questions of the panellists, except he was replacing, it was a last-minute replacement for Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, really?
Lindsay Lohan was due for a guest appearance on the show, and she came with a lot of, you know, sort of caveats, I suppose. She was saying, I'll come on the show, however, not prepared to talk about my relationship with Paris Hilton, my friendship. I won't talk about my dating life, my drug and alcohol use, my past arrests, my MTV Beach Club stint, or my family.
What else is there?
Well, I don't think there is much more to Lindsay Lohan. That's all we know about her.
What was that movie when she played herself twice, The Twins? Oh, no, that silly thing.
Parent Trap?
Yeah, Parent Trap. There you go.
You be very careful what you say about Lindsay.
Oh, yeah, I will, because she'll come and get me.
Yeah. No, she's a good girl.
Oh, well, look.
And she's got good lawyers.
Yeah. A Channel 10 spokesperson later said that Lindsay didn't show up because she was resting for her judging role on The Masked Singer Australia.
Right. Okay.
She'll be judging on that, and she was having a rest. But she confused everybody at the time by just instead posting a video of herself on a luxury yacht with some guy washing her hair.
Was it the bloke from Tinder?
He did look like that.
It did, didn't it?
So Lindsay Lohan's kind of like, that's it. It's done. You're not going to be on the show. See you later.
Oh, no, he was successful on Tinder. You wouldn't end up with her.
No, that's exactly. True. And if you remember, in recent times, Nicolas Cage was filmed doing some karaoke at a bar.
You say you want a leader. But you can't even make up your mind.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mm.
And now Nicolas Cage is not happy. He said, I'm just going to stay home from now on. You go to a karaoke bar with a male friend in the neighbourhood. The bar says no videotaping, and suddenly there's two different videos of you doing karaoke. He said, who exposed this tape? Who sold it? And he said, people were picking on his performance of Prince's Purple Rain, in case you didn't recognise that song.
No.
But he said it was more like a Primal Scream therapy. And it wasn't meant to be a viral moment. He said it was right around the anniversary of Prince's death. I was kind of just releasing.
I agree with him.
And he said, so now I don't think I'm going to go out. I'm going to stay at home. It's too vulnerable and I'm not trying to complain. It's just a fact of life. I don't want to, he said, I'd rather let my work and not my personal life speak for me.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Lesson for us all. Just put them down. Stop filming everything.
That poor Emma Thompson, you know, award-winning British actress.
Yeah.
And she's on the streets. She's been boozing with her friend, Hannah Gadsby. And
that's
out at a pub and they're taking photos of her dancing home. She's had a few shavers, you know. Like,
it's a shame, isn't it?
And that awful intrusion of privacy of the Hemsworth brothers. Oh, no, they did that themselves.
They were pumping iron, mate.
Yeah. It's hard. You know, it's hard to find an award host these days that's good. And some award hosts have been fantastic, like 2013's Neil Patrick Harris at the Emmys. He did a good job.
Tonight we celebrate the best of television. For our younger audience, that's the thing you watch on your phones. We're here to honor the best and the brightest talents in our industry. They're responsible for the programs that this year made us laugh, made us cry, and for the front row, made them rich.
He did a great job on that and the Tonys.
Yeah,
yeah. And now, just like the 2019 Academy Awards, this year's Emmys are going to be host-free.
Oh, right, okay.
Decided that hosts are no longer necessary. They said our job is to elevate the program, and they said it's an interesting year because there's a lot of amazing shows that we're saying goodbye to, Game of Thrones, Empire, Veep, The Big Bang Theory, and they want to be able to really pay tribute to those shows. And if they have a host and an opening number, that's 20 minutes that they can't use about the TV shows.
Yeah, and the fact that for the it seems like the last 10 years, every host has got into some trouble for something they've said on social media, you know, 20 years
we
ago.
We want you to be funny, but you can't say anything that's offensive, but don't, you know.
Oh, didn't Kevin Hart pull out of one because of what he said before he even hosted it?
Yeah.
You know who's happy about this? is that woman who does the voiceovers. Welcome to the 81st annual Oscars.
How do I get that gig?
Yeah, she's got the gig now.
That's your daily juice.
Well, okay, see.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
As we focus this week, put the spotlight on homelessness during Homelessness Week. Mm. We thought we'd get someone from the government to talk about it. Minister for Community Services, Simone McGuirk, welcome.
Great to be here.
Simone, we have spoken to some people who are without homes and the challenges that they face. And while the services are working, the rate of homelessness is growing. What's the feedback that you're getting from a government perspective?
Yeah, look, there's no doubt that there's a problem throughout the state, but we're not the only state that's dealing with it. And in many cities throughout the world, you see that homelessness is a challenge. We spend quite a lot of money at the moment, $89 million a year, supporting people primarily through services. In Fremantle, we've got St. Pat's, but it might be Lua, it might be Vinnie's, it might be the Salvation Army, Uniting Care West. So a whole lot of fantastic organisations do a great job. But while there's still need out there, we need to stay focused that there's more for us to do.
Yeah. Minister, we met 2 or 3 years ago at the CEO sleepout at the WACA, and our business leaders out there getting just a tiny glimpse of life on the street. And the one thing they kept saying to both of us was that constant feeling of cold overnight. It must be so crippling, especially at this time of the year for the homeless.
Yeah, exactly. It really does focus your mind at this time of year, whether it's the cold or the wet. Mm. We know that the first 6 weeks of people being homeless is a really important time where we can link in with people and give them the sort of supports that they need. So there's a few things that we're doing. One is to address the causes of homelessness, that either it's mental health, meth addiction, drug and alcohol addiction, or domestic violence, financial insecurity, those sort of things. So we're trying to address that. We're also looking at an evidence base of increasing our efforts. So we've been working with the service providers, the organisations that I mentioned before, to look at what is the world's best practice of how we tackle this problem and have a plan. And the third thing we're doing, we just announced yesterday, was some immediate help for people. So we're extending the hours of Tranby, one of the drop-in centres. Foyer Oxford does fantastic work with young people. And finally, for young people leaving the child protection system that I've got responsibility for, we've put $500,000 to really give people support. So we're doing a lot of good work. I know there's a lot to do. We don't just want to give people immediate help. We want to link them in to sustainable long-term supports. And that's the plan that we're working on.
Minister, you raise a really interesting point. Is there anywhere around the world that we've seen that is actually getting this right?
Yeah, there are jurisdictions at the moment. There's someone here from Ireland where they've been doing some fantastic work using a housing first model. Even in here in Perth, a program called 50 Lives, 50 Homes, which has been very successful, using that approach, has worked with the most vulnerable street present people, and 88% of the people that they're working with are still in their accommodation 3 years later.
It's
been very successful. So I think that'll be the centrepiece of our work, which is called a housing first approach. And in fact, I was so impressed by it, I went to businesses in Fremantle, I'm the member for Fremantle, and approached local businesses and said, look, can we get some donations to get this going in Fremantle? And we raised $1 million to do a 20 lives, 20 homes in Fremantle. And that's what we need. We need a sustained effort, and we need to draw on evidence and track the effectiveness of our intervention.
Hey, Minister, thanks for your time this morning. We really appreciate
it. Great to talk to you guys, and thanks a lot for your interest in this.
The Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
A few memories for you, Matt, with Matt's Hits from Your Hood.
Yes, this week it is Queen's Park, and as you guys know, I've had a wonderful sort of flood of memories going back to my beautiful grandparents on my mum's side, Harold and Ruth.
Yeah.
They were from Blackpool, or actually my nana was from Lytham St Anne's, which is the posh end of that area.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, you know, they courted at the Blackpool Tower, and they were just beautiful people. I used to look at my pop taking out his false teeth and, you know, marvel at all the stuff that he did.
Oh, my God, we had the same pop.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, mine too.
And their home in Queen's Park, which, you know, that's Nana and Pop's place.
Yep.
And we lived with them when my parents split up. And they were just a huge part of my life. So yesterday, down with Dan, the internut, and we did a bit of filming at Coker Park where I played for Queen's Park Soccer Club. And anyway, wonderful stuff.
I did see a photo of you. Pumping your chest out.
Pumping the chest
out. Best goalkeeper ever, I read.
Yeah. Well, some say that. I don't do much. Guy Pearce reckons
I thought you'd written that.
but interestingly enough, up until a few days ago,
right?
You remember Captain Paul's suggestion for Queen's Park yesterday?
Yes.
Nothing breaks like a heart.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right? That's what I was working on.
Okay.
But then I had a revelation.
Yeah.
Well, an awful one that has just changed everything for me about my memory of that time.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
Right. So the song had to change.
Yeah, they weren't your grandparents?
Jeez, what did you and Dan do yesterday?
Here's a little taste of tomorrow.
Okay.
Queen's Park, next stop. Conductor on the train he used to call. Queen's Park, next stop.
Slightly melancholy.
Yeah, it is a bit.
I know that song.
A sad song.
I feel like I was on one of those shows, yeah, who do you think you are when you think you know something,
okay,
and then it's revealed that you didn't know.
Oh, okay.
Great.
Right. I'm looking forward to that tomorrow.
And the song kind of fits in with Blue Light Friday.
The moment you've been waiting for all morning.
Hope he eclipses yesterday's joke.
Yeah.
It's Captain Paul's joke of the day.
Yeah, do you know what the difference is between a genealogist and a gynecologist?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, look, a genealogist looks up the family tree and a gynecologist looks up the family bush.
That Big Breakfast catch-up was for ABC Blinds, up to 50% off sale.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.